Welcome to Impact, exposing the issues, investigating the facts with guests and commentary on the issues that affect you and your search for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
The opinions and views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management or ownership of KTMP 1340.
And now, Impact.
Well, good morning, everyone. We welcome you to the Impact program on this Tuesday. Well, very snowy, icy. Please be careful. The roads are really not that good right at the point, but they're working at it. The crews are busy throwing salt and sand and moving things around where they can. But please be careful. They're pretty bad. Main Street is not bad, but you get up into some of the little areas, and is that gun going off, Bob, or what? Wait a minute, I got to turn you. I'm not like you now. See, I'm turning you on so people can hear your melodic tones. Okay, go ahead.
I will say that the roads in the county are pretty clean. They were out early this morning, woke me up, as a matter of fact, but that's beside the point. The roads are pretty clean. They've done a good job.
Well, that's good.
The Wasatch County does a good job on keeping the roads clean. Maybe they're a little bit too aggressive sometime when there's a quarter of an inch of snow. But anyway. But no, they did a good job.
Roads well, good in shape. Utah, we've always practiced one thing, which is bare pavement. And we're one of the few states that practice that. There's a lot of states. You go up into Idaho, and they don't practice bare pavement. They have rubber scrapers on their blades, and all they do is push it off if it's loose snow. And I've been up in Idaho when the spring comes, and you got chuck holes that are 18 inches deep, and it's just where the snow was pushed down, and now it's melting. And so they don't practice that. I want to tell you, when you come from other states in the wintertime into Utah, we're down to pavement. If they have to dump a boxcar load of stuff on the road to make it down to pavement, they get it down to pavement. And they do an excellent job. And we spend a lot of money, but I want to tell you, our roads are in great, great shape. Because when you come from other states, as I said, around us, boy, I'll tell you, you appreciate how they're doing. Anyway, we have a guest today with us, and Mike Davis, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to see you. For those of you who are just joining us, this is the Impact Program, and Mike Davis is our guest today, and he is the Wasatch County Manager. And so we're going to talk a lot of things related to the county and some of the things that are going on. We've got a number of things that are happening, and some of them Mr. Davis is going to be able to help us out and help us understand, and others, he's going to probably be like us and go,
huh?
It's not my baby. Yeah. Huh? What were you saying? Was this something really important? Anyway, and so, well, anyway, Mike, we welcome you to the microphone this morning.
Thank you.
You know, I have a question I wanted to ask you. I was going to even ask you off the air, but Bob isn't anxious for me to ask this question for some reason.
I really
wanted to ask you. You know, if the federal government goes over the so-called fiscal cliff, you're involved in all things to do with money for the county, preparing budgets and doing those kinds of things. What do you see as a problem for us?
We do receive federal dollars in a lot of aspects. You just talked about roads. Roads is a big one. Most people don't realize that the roads are plowed mainly off of gas tax money. When you go buy fuel at the pump, I think there's 24 cents, 25 cents per gallon that is state tax and federal tax. And the state tax dollars come back to the counties apportioned out by miles of road and population. And the federal portion is apportioned out through the state, comes back through the state into projects such as repaving, improving of roads, widening of roads, other things. So you would definitely see a problem there, a behavioral issues, mental health, substance abuse, those are funded heavily through federal government. Our alcohol money comes into the sheriff's department, and for law enforcement, there's a lot of federal monies that come in through there. So, yes, those things happen. Will We go off a cliff if the feds go off a cliff? I don't think so. Will there be cutbacks? Absolutely. You can't be afraid to cut things back once that happens, and we will. So mainly what you'll see is a reduction in services and areas that
rely heavily on the federal grants and those kind of things.
You know, the fiscal cliff isn't necessarily a cutoff of all things. There are a lot of things that will be cut, but I think you'll see more of a recessionary reaction. I think that's probably the bigger impact that we would see here in the county is if unemployment goes up higher, those types of things, those could dramatically affect us a lot more than the dollars we get.
Can the county weather that storm if it was the last year?
I believe so. Fiscally, we're in as good or better shape than almost any county in the state of Utah. Our debt load is fairly low. It's mainly tied to other revenues other than general fund revenues, so it doesn't impact the general fund as much. We have a decent reserve right now. We're going to be pushing the 50% threshold in a year or two, so you know we have several million dollars in reserve, so we can weather some things that way, but it you can't be afraid to cut services if that happens. And it's either that or raise taxes. I doubt very much we would raise taxes. I don't see that happening. So anyway, that's...
Now you talk about some of the reserves we have in the county. Is it some of these reserves that are proposed for a meeting that's going to be held? They just amended the meeting notice a little bit, and that's going to be held on December the 19th. And you're talking about changes in the Wasatch County budget with to approve the 2013 budget, also approve some amendments to the 2012 budget. But I've noticed that there is some wage adjustments going to be made for some elected and others.
That's been proposed? Yes.
Is there sufficient funding in that budget to allow for that to take place without putting a burden on taxpayers?
Without a tax increase of any kind, we have sufficient funds to do that. We have not given any raises for, it's over 4 years now, any cost of living or anything. And so it was proposed a 2% cost of living adjustment for employees and a 0 to 3% merit possibility so that the department heads had some leeway in there that they could grant from 0 to 3% if they so desired. Elected officials are a different deal. They're all done through hearing process with the county council as well as my job. The county manager and the elected officials have to go to a public hearing. A 5% increase was proposed for that group as well. Now, whether that happens or not will be determined on the conclusion of the hearing process.
I'm not asking you to fall on your sword, but my question to you is that a wise move in light of what's happening around us and the economy that affects us and some of the things that we're not seeing happening in our county? Is that a wise move?
Well,
can that possibly wait until the budgetary year of 2014?
And that's a really good question. Is it something we can ultimately afford in the long term? What we're seeing, first of all, I'll say on the revenue side, we're seeing an increase in revenue now, which we haven't seen for 4 years. We're seeing more building permits, we're seeing more sales tax, we're seeing more fees and other things being paid. Okay, that being said, we did cut back our staff and personnel considerably when the downturn occurred versus some other areas like, and I'm not criticizing, but Summit County didn't cut back. And now they're facing their own fiscal cliff. And we're in very good shape. So we took the cuts. In doing that, we then asked our people to provide more of themselves. And there was it was interesting. Nobody in the county called up and said, please cut our services. There wasn't one phone call. It was quite the opposite. People are expecting more services, and more, particularly in law enforcement in those areas. Those are uncontrollable things that happen in that area. We have to provide those services, and they are costing us more. They just are. And so we're asking more of our people. So in light of those things, we did feel that since we've pushed our people to limit, rather than hiring more people to do more work, let's pay our people more and let them do more work. Now, the other issue we have is in the last year we've lost three attorneys to competitive circumstances. We've lost several law enforcement officers. Each law enforcement officer costs us $15,000 to train right out of the chute. They're green, whatever, $15,000. The attorneys, there's certainly a cost in bringing an attorney up to speed in those areas. I can spend the money hiring new people as our people leave, or I can spend the money paying a little bit more on keeping them. So all those things considered, that was a consideration of mine, and I did propose that. It was my proposal to do such to the council. They haven't made that decision yet, but that certainly was the county manager's proposal.
Are you talking about assistant county attorneys, or are you talking about your public defender contract when you're talking about attorneys?
No, public defender contract's a bid situation. That's a competitive bid situation, and we have to take bids in for that, and then we analyze the bids, and we may or may not take the low bid, but usually it is the low bid. What we lost were deputy county attorneys.
Okay, so your proposal is to hire a couple more deputy county attorneys?
No, we had to replace the ones we lost.
Okay.
And that cost us quite a bit, because to enter that marketplace, we then had to pay a higher wage to get them in, and I'd like to keep them.
Okay.
Rather than replacing them every
and on the
years.
Subject of the wage adjustment, did you say there will be an additional public hearing on that thing, or is that what's going to be on the agenda tomorrow?
Okay.
It doesn't say public hearing on it.
The public hearing was held the last meeting, which was
5th or something like that,
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
it's a continuation and decision on that hearing tomorrow night, Wednesday night. So the hearing's been held. They'll make a decision on that, but they'll take comment up through tomorrow. I don't know that they'll take any public comment tomorrow. That's up to the council.
Sure.
To do so. But because the decision hasn't been made yet, they will take certainly written comment. Or if you need to call them up and talk to them or whatever, I'm sure they would take that comment as well. The wage adjustment for the employees, the non-elected employees, essentially was a presentation of the budget. So that was handled through the budget hearing process. It wasn't a separate issue to have a hearing on. So I'm not sure if I answered your question.
No, that answers it.
Okay.
So basically there will not be another subsequent public hearing on the subject of pay raises for elected officials. That's already been done, and this is the point at which they might vote on it, or they could delay it another week or whatever they want to do on it. But the good thing is at least they put the budget notice out that they are considering it. If people want to comment it, they can still write to the county council and say, give them 20%, or
right,
say, hey, cut their salary instead.
Some of the things we've done over the last years, we have cut back some of the benefits. We fund insurance at about a 30% level, which is getting close to more industry standards, rather than government standards have been higher in the past. We did away with 401k funding a couple years ago.
Additional contributions by the county to a 401k.
Correct. So currently the only retirement possibility is the what the employee themselves puts into 401k, or we do have the state, we are part of the state retirement system, which is a non-contributory portion, which the county pays per paycheck so much in, and then after their 30 years, they
get 1.5% times their average salary.
Correct.
Time 30 years or something
that
like that.
Goes into that, so we still fund that.
Okay,
so
and
we have cut back some of those things as we've worked through this, but we've tried to make wages a little more competitive. In the past, wages for government workers were a little lower, and benefits were higher. We've tried to adjust that a little bit.
And you mentioned 30% on the insurance cost. Is that how much the county pays of the insurance, or is that how much the employee pays?
That's how much the employee pays.
The employee pays 30%, mm-hmm. County pays 70%.
Correct.
And at one point, a couple of years ago, it was 100% paid.
At no time that I've ever worked here is it 100%.
Oh, okay.
It was a few years ago.
That would have been before my time.
Yeah, before the change of government.
And there is more of a benefit for a single health insurance person, a single individual, than if you go to a couple or to a family. Then it ramps up. your contribution portion ramps up. If you're a single individual, more of your percent is paid.
I'm not opposed to paying people more money. The thing that I get really worked up over is the fact that we have a tendency to justify our payment to people because we haven't done it for a number of years, and that becomes the justification for it. But I, as a taxpayer, you know, if we have to pay people more to keep them and to retain them, and they're worth that, then let's do it. But I also want to know, when we're talking about elected officials, and I lump you in that category right now because I'm talking about it straight across, and it's not a personal thing. But as a taxpayer, I want to know what more you are going to do, or as an elected official, you are going to do when we pay you this more money. Do you have other assignments that you're taking on, more responsibilities? Are you going to be responsible for more things? Or is this just a reward because we haven't done it for the last two or three years?
Well, I can speak for me personally, and this will be my personal comment.
Okay.
For me, as we cut back, we did away with the engineering department, and myself, I took over the sole responsibility of that and shared that then with other people to help me with it, and I didn't get compensated for that. That was over $1 million budget a year, and so I personally did that to save other things in the county because our revenues were decreasing. I just felt it's not prudent to go hire another person as our engineer retired when we didn't have work to do that, to justify that, and I'll take on that additional duty. I've done that in several areas, just me personally. Now, I didn't do that to say, hey, I'm deserving of more money or anything. I did it because it needed to be done.
Well, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying, we talk about giving out more money, and that's fine and dandy, but I think sometimes we have to sort of measure that a little bit with what people are involved in doing.
Well, I think overall, if maybe you don't agree with this, but I think in the last 5 years, to live has cost more.
Well, it's cost everybody more.
Well, if we don't do some sort of a cost of living adjustment, then they're earning less, are they not?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody complains.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Less. Nobody comes up to their saying, whoa, we can't let them earn less.
Yeah, I understand that. But also, too, my question to you, too, is so in the grand scheme of things, as we increase the pay for those that are listed, where are we at when we compare ourselves? Because we always do that. Now, as you well know, public employees have a tendency to compare themselves to other counties, other cities,
absolutely,
other states, the whole nine yards. And we always do that when we want to go for a raise. But nobody ever comes back to the taxpayers and says, you know, we've compared us to the last three states around us, and we need to take a 20% decrease because we're higher than anybody else. I've never heard that in my whole life.
I agree.
I've never heard that. And so I guess my question to you, Mike, is, so where do we measure up statewide with the wages that we pay in this county?
Let me start with what we pay in taxes. We're in the lower 30%. Wasatch County's in the lower 30% of taxes.
Property taxes?
Property taxes.
Are you talking mill levy or amount on an average house or total assessment? What are you,
mill
how
levy.
Are you comparing it? Mill levy.
Mill levy, which equates to value of property, which equates to other things. So it's even more skewed than that because the valuation of our property is actually higher than many counties. In fact, it might be, if I'm remembering right, it's around the fourth highest in the state. Is if you look at a per acre value, we're near the top. That's because of our association or proximity to Park City and other
things.
Well,
our values are high.
It's pushed it up.
That's an issue I have with
your... So if you take that with the lower mill levy, the fact that our mill levy is even lower than other counties that have lower values, that even offsets that a little bit more. Okay, take that into consideration. Then we do wage comparisons. From elected official standpoint, we're probably in the lower 30% as well.
Have you ever done those comparisons?
We have.
Okay.
And I don't have the sheet with me, so I'm going to be a little bit careful to
specifically
say that. As far as wages and where people fall in wages, we continually look at this, and we have to because we have to hire people. As people leave, we have to hire. And if we can't offer a competitive wage, we can't hire them because there are other people hiring. Now, right now, some of them are letting go. Within the last 6 months, we've seen some fiscal cliffs. Orem City's having a fiscal cliff. Some counties having a fiscal cliff and other things. So, and they've looked at law enforcement where they're going to kind of clean up their budgets a little bit. So that has not put a draw on us. But in the last 4 years, we've had a considerable draw from Summit County on our law enforcement, our jail people, our dispatch people, because their starting wages were more than a dollar an hour higher than ours. That we have not raised ours a dollar an hour. We're not saying, well, because Summit County is this, we're going to raise ours. We have raised it a little bit, and we've implemented other programs, particularly in law enforcement, where we hire at a lower wage, and then we do a probationary deal to get them up a little bit higher faster than you would in a normal situation. That's one area that we have adjusted wages in the last little bit is on our new hires, where we've hired at a low wage, and you say, if you do a good job, this is the wage you'll get.
But you also know, too, and our listeners need to understand, the fluidity of in law enforcement is always going to be there.
There always is that.
Because you've always got somebody willing to move someplace else.
It's like county managers.
And it's not always, yeah, and it's not always for money. Sometimes it's for responsibility. Or sometimes they got their feelings hurt and they thought, well, I can go over here and work. That has happened in law enforcement for 100 years, and it's still going to continue. If we paid five times more than we pay right now, we'd still have those who would be leaving, going someplace else for whatever reason.
We have seen more, now we don't have a lot, but we've seen more of our personnel, law enforcement personnel particularly, that don't live here, working here. They're less available here, and more pressure from outside to bring people in. Those people are a little more fluid than even our local people, because they'll look for another job that might be closer to where they live. We've had them as far away as Tremont, and you know, it's not, they don't commute every day, but they'll come down here and stay for a week, and then they'll go home for a couple of days, and those things, and they're hard to work out. That makes it hard on families and other things. But we have looked at wages. I'm very safe in saying we're lower 50% of almost all the wages. We're in lower 30% in some of them. We try to stay competitive. When we look at wages, we look at the population center. You can't look at Salt Lake and say, because our wages are here and Salt Lake's are here, that we should adjust ours to Salt Lake's level. That's not apples and apples. And it never is apples and apples. There's a lot of considerations, right. But what is one issue here that we don't get a lot of people. Our cost of living in Wasatch County is fairly high because of property values and so forth. It's a little difficult for a lot of people to live here. So if they're here already, that's a little easier.
Well, my thought to you is if we need to raise and we've got the money to do it, then by all means, let's do it. I just hope that we're looking at the bigger picture.
There are some
on this list that, you know where I'm coming from. I think the Sheriff's Department needs the bulk of the money, if you want to know the truth. These are the guys that are going out putting their lives on the line. Somebody that's sitting, you know, in their office all day at their desk with deskitis just waiting for the phone to ring. I don't know whether we give them 3% or 2%. Maybe they get 0.5% and we call it good.
Well, I can say that not every department head gave 3%. It wasn't across the board.
Just didn't go across the board?
Okay.
All right.
So there was consideration.
So the elected officials, you can have different pay scales for the elected officials. They don't all have to be the same. Aren't they currently all the same?
They are currently all the same. And in many of the counties, that is the case. But there are some counties that, no, it's not a requirement that they have to be the same. Now, the attorney and the sheriff are at a different level than... but we have a core that are all at the same level.
Yeah, I mean, the clerk, treasurer, recorder, and surveyor, I believe, have all been the same. But you could, or the county could, if they chose to do it, to make one higher or lower.
They could.
Which may or may not be a good thing, but that's
possible. Bob, also, too, you brought that up when you were talking about different pay. There are a couple of offices I see that we could go through an election-type situation and combine those. County council could do that in a heartbeat and say, you know what, we're going to combine these two offices and these two offices, and we'll run with what we've got. A lot of counties are looking at that.
And then possibly you could take the money from that department, if you can find a cheaper way of doing it, and distribute that money in salaries to the other one, if that's what you choose to.
Can we shift gears for a minute?
You absolutely.
I wanted to go to another issue that's on here. The county, you correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, didn't the county propose taking over Cowboy Poetry? Isn't that going to be run under the auspices of the special service district we know as Parks and Rec?
No.
All right. How are we going to work that?
It was proposed by the tourism board to take it over.
Okay. Did the county take it over?
No, that the tourism board take it over, not the county.
Not the county, but the tourism board.
Right. Now, the tourism board is funded by the county and Heber City and Midway. And so the funding, if it were to happen, the funding would come mainly through the county. The majority of the money that comes into the tourism board comes from the transient room tax. We take in about $1 million a year in transient room tax. And that's about a 4.25% tax that if a person comes and stays in Wasatch County, they pay additional to sales tax or whatever. So if you go to the Homesteaders or Mod or the Holiday Inn Express, you pay an additional 4.25%. That money comes to the county, can only be used for marketing. At least two-thirds of it can only be used for marketing of tourism to bring people to Wasatch County. The other third can be used for capital costs associated with tourism. So that is being proposed that through the tourism board, they get about $400,000+ a year out of the county, from the county. The different communities put up to $25,000 a year into that fund separately, not from the TRT, for economic development and tourism. And so based on that, can they run Cowboy Poetry? I to be honest with you, I'm not privy to the financials of Cowboy Poetry. I know they're going to talk about it on the
agenda. It's on the agenda, and they've got a grant request, and that brings me to my next question. So if we're already putting money into tourism, and we're already using that money that's coming out of the transient room tax and all these other things, why are they coming to the county generally for a grant request? Why doesn't the economic board handle the whole thing?
That actually would be my preference, that any of those types of activities be handled through the economic board or tourism board. And if they need the county or Heber City or Midway to contribute more into that, they need to come to us and say, you know, we need more money to do this. I'm fine with that. I don't know what the request is going to be. You know, in the past, we have helped Cowboy Poetry.
We have. Every entity usually has made some kind of a donation.
The train we helped. Yeah. There have been other entities. There is a transient room tax board that in the past there's been money put into that to help with all kinds of activities that go on within the county. So this is another request. I really don't know enough about it.
So, and I'm not trying to put a number on it or put you under the microscope or anything, but in the explanation of where Cowboy Poetry is funded, so now they're coming back to the county. It says for a grant request.
Right.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute, people. You took it over as tourism, so fund it. And if you can't get the job done, then do something else. But don't come back to the same citizens asking for more money. I'm one of these. I'm getting really, be honest with you, Mike, I'm getting really tired of seeing my tax dollars used to promote one business over another business. We've seen it in Midway, we've seen it in Heber, we've seen it in the county, and that's offensive to me. I earn my dollars that I pay, that are extracted from me, whether I want to pay or not, and I want to see them used in a most productive way. And I'm looking at this saying, wait a minute, I'm a supporter of Cowboy Poetry. You saw me there this year, I saw you, we had a little conversation, we were there. But the point of it is, if it doesn't make it, then let's move on. Let's don't keep trying to resurrect this dead horse. Let's move on and find something else. I mean, I'm a supporter of the train, but it reaches a point where either we find people who can run the organization and do it right and make the money necessary to keep it running, or we don't, and then we move on. And I hate seeing this coming back again. So we're going to have a report for the 2012, and then we have a grant request. And I'm saying, the county, I'd really take that back. I really want the county council to say, no, the tourism board is running it. You go to them and get it all worked out. Anyway, that's the end. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. We're having conversations with Mike Davis today, who happens to be the Wasatch County Manager, and we'll be returning right after these words. We remind you you're listening to the Impact Program right here on KTMP 1340.
Impact on KTMP 1340. We'll return with more right after these messages.